Hey, my friends, we will be right back to the show. But I have a question for you. Are you struggling with the impact of childhood trauma? Well, know that you're not alone. I'm here to let you know that I'm starting a brand new weekly coaching group that includes a year of life coaching, accountability, support, habit and goal setting, and more. I'm starting a waitlist for the group right now, and I'm only taking a handful of people. And I'll let you know that through this personalized coaching, we'll work together to help you understand how your childhood trauma has shaped your beliefs, behaviors, emotions, and we'll help you create a roadmap for healing and growth. Right now, you can schedule an absolutely free coaching session with me and get put on the wait list if you go to thinkunbroken.com. My friends, it's your time to turn your trauma into triumph, breakdowns into breakthroughs, and become the hero of your own story. And I'm here to support you in doing that. Just go to thinkunbroken.com to register for a free coaching call with me and to get put on the wait list for the brand new weekly coaching program.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, my friends, we will be right back to the show, but I have a question for you. Are you struggling with the impact of childhood trauma? Well, know that you're not alone. I'm here to let you know that I'm starting a brand new weekly coaching group that includes a year of life coaching, accountability, support, habit and goal setting, and more. I'm starting a waitlist for the group right now, and I'm only taking a handful of people. And I'll let you know that through this personalized coaching, we'll work together to help you understand how your childhood trauma has shaped your beliefs, behaviors, emotions, and we'll help you create a roadmap for healing and growth. Right now, you can schedule an absolutely free coaching session with me and get put on the wait list if you go to thinkunbroken.com. My friends, it's your time to turn your trauma into triumph, breakdowns into breakthroughs, and become the hero of your own story. And I'm here to support you in doing that. Just go to thinkunbroken.com to register for a free coaching call with me and to get put on the wait list for the brand new weekly coaching program. What do you think would happen if you got out of your own way, changed your environment, went cold turkey, quit your bad habits, and chose to put yourself first? What's up, Unbroken Nation? Hope that you're doing well. I'm very excited for today's episode with my friend, mentor, buddy, I will say, and coach Akbar Sheikh, who is a man that I met about a year ago, who has helped me a tremendous amount just in what I've learned about community building, what I've learned in about bringing people together, what I've learned in about, you know, growing a business for the purpose of service. And this episode, as you may have seen, is titled Make More to Give More. And that is Akbar's entire mission, to help empower people to make more money so that they can give more. And one of the really fascinating things that has happened in my journey since I met him a year ago is that I've made more money. And because of that, I've been able to donate more. And not just money, but time and effort and energy. And in that, really changed my mind, because for the first, just full transparency, for the first couple years of this business, really the first 3 years of this business, I lost money. Most businesses lose money in the beginning, right? When I switched to coaching, and it's a long story, I won't get into the details of it, but when I started figuring out, okay, wait, I want to coach people, I want to run the podcast, I want to write more books, I want to do all these things, and I started making money, and the business was profitable, and people were investing to come over because Think Unbroken was working, and it was changing their life, and it was impactful. I had this realization where I was like, oh, I should probably donate some of this, or start a foundation or something. And you know that old joke, or not joke, excuse me, the old adage, like when the student's ready, the master will appear. No bullshit. I sit down, I'm having this thought, and the next day, I'll come across this guy on Facebook who was mentoring one of my friends. And I was like, oh, this is clearly the guy who's going to help me. And so this conversation is really interesting. I enjoy it a lot. And one, because it's a friend and a mentor, but two, because I think that if you really listen and pay attention, you'll think about life through maybe a little bit of a different scope than you have been in terms of what you give to your community, to your family, to your friends, not even just financially, but in all aspects. And so I'm very excited about this episode with Akbar Sheikh. And without further ado, my friends, let's get into the show. Hey, what's up, Unbroken Nation? Welcome to the Think Unbroken podcast. I'm your host, Michael Unbroken, and this podcast is about helping trauma survivors let go of the past, overcome their fear, discover their identity, become the hero of their own story, and ultimately to be unbroken. Our goal and company is to bring on guests and experts in the fields of mental, physical, and psychological health to help you overcome the past, to take back your power. And in this podcast, we are unedited and unfiltered, and we're going to give it to you real so that you can start to create massive change in your life. If you're curious about learning more outside the podcast, you can get a free copy of my book, Think Unbroken, at book.thinkunbroken.com. That's book.thinkunbroken.com, where you can get a copy of my number one best-selling book, Think Unbroken, Understanding and Overcoming Childhood Trauma. The most important thing that you can ever do, my friends, is show up for yourself, and that's where you are today. And I appreciate you. I have massive gratitude for you. And without further ado, let's get into the show. We'll be right back to the show, but before we do, I want to take a moment and tell you about my new book, Unbroken Man, A Man's Guide to Being the Hero of Their Own Story. I sat down a few months ago and realized that there are so many men in the world that need guidance, that need support, that need to learn about trauma, removing themselves from toxic masculinity, breaking down the barriers to vulnerability, getting unstuck, and ultimately learning the tools to become the hero of their own story. Unbroken Man is available for pre-order right now if you go to men.thinkunbroken.com, where you'll also get access to over $1,000 in bonuses, including the six-week in-depth trauma healing coaching app, which you'll get instant access to. I created Unbroken Man to be accessible to everyone around the world, but it is written for men from the guise of a man, and I hope that you will find it to be a practical tool on your healing journey in the same way that thousands of men around the world have. So check out men.thinkunbroken.com to pre-order, and until next time, be unbroken. Hey, what's up, Unbroken Nation? Hope that you're doing well wherever you are in the world today. I am super excited to be joined by my guest and one of my mentors, Akbar Sheikh, who is on a mission to help people give more to make more and vice versa. Akbar, my friend, how are you? What is going on in your world today?
Hey, man, appreciate you having me. That's it. Like you said, man, just every day, same goal, help people make more to give more. And that's our compass. That's our North Star.
I love it. It's so beautiful and powerful. And, you know, for context, so people understand, you know, I'm a firm believer in coaches. I have a fitness coach. I have a business coach. I have a mindset coach. I have a speaking coach. I have everybody, because the one thing that I know about my life is I actually don't know anything. And so I'm always looking at and trying to measure people who are simply one step ahead of me, who can help me on my journey. And that's how you and I connected. So I'm really excited about this conversation, because you're actually the first one of my coaches I've had on the show in our over 100 episodes. So before we dive in and we talk about a lot of your journey and kind of our parlay, tell everybody a little bit about you, your background, your history, and create some context so the people listening, the Unbroken Nation, know who you are.
Yeah, man. Well, it's been a crazy ride, so I'll try to give kind of the Cliff Note version of it. Listen, man, I, you know, kind of a normal life, grew up in, you know, born in San Francisco, grew up in Connecticut, and pretty good, healthy, I don't know what you want to call it, middle class kind of life. You know, house, big backyard in Connecticut, blah, blah, blah. A couple of siblings, you know, had a lot of fun running around chasing rabbits in the backyard and stuff. You know, listen, got to college, pretty good guy, you know, nice guy, nice habits, like a good boy, that kind of, you know, not like a troublemaker. After college, I was bred in an entrepreneurial family, generations and generations of entrepreneurs. So my whole life, it's not like I ever really had a choice on what I was going to do. Even when I was in first grade, we had an assembly and everybody had to be like, you had to go up to the theater and you had to tell the whole audience, what is it that you want to be when you grow up? And someone's like, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I want to be an astronaut. You know, like the typical kind of answers you get from people in first grade. And I said, I want to be a businessman. And everyone started laughing because it's just not something you hear. I mean, like, it's been ingrained in me since birth, basically, that you're going to be an entrepreneur. So here's the thing. After college, you know, I mean, during college and stuff, you know, I'm doing some, you know, little side gigs and stuff. But after college, I really go into business. And it was the family business. It was retail. And so, like, my whole life, never thought about what I'm going to do. I just always know I'm going to go into retail and the family business. And, man, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I just hated it. You know, and I got in, I'm like, holy crap, I hate this. This is a nightmare. I don't want to do this at all. And I remember it's like my whole life crashed. Like, I was just like, I literally like hit a brick wall. Cause I'm like, my whole life, I'm like, da, 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 da. Never thinking about like, what's my purpose in life. Da, da, da. You know, it's like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be in business. I'm going to be in the family business. Da, 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 da. Wait a minute. This sucks. I hate this. And everything just started falling apart from that. You know, why I didn't like retail, so many reasons. You know, I think it's like the self-made kind of like trap. Your work is never done. The customer's always right, but in reality, they never really are. It was just kind of a nightmare setting, kind of like this weird prison that you're stuck in. Anyway, dude, I started getting into like bad habits. I was lost. I gained weight. I started developing bad, terrible habits. All different types of bad habits. We'll keep it PG, but let me tell you, all different types of bad habits. You know, I whatever spirituality I had, I lost it. I wasn't praying. I wasn't spiritual. I got involved in toxic relationships, both intimate ones and both with friends. And my life literally just fell apart to the point where I ended up in the hospital from partying too much. I mixed a lot of things that they did teach me in school, but it mixed a lot of things you were not supposed to mix and ended up in the hospital half dead. But I didn't die and God saved me. And then, you know, everything changed. I took that second chance real seriously. I lost 50 pounds. I went organic. I dropped all my bad habits overnight. I got out of all my toxic relationships. I was in a terrible marriage as well. What else did I do? I started doing yoga. I started getting spiritual, started praying. And, you know, I just totally rebuilt myself as a person. Only then did I start finding success after years and years and years of failure. And then, you know, long story short, here we are as a, you know, it's kind of a cool little story. You know, we used to live in an electrical closet on a bunk bed with my brother in San Francisco Bay Area. And now, you know, thank God, you know, we've become like a top 1% global coach. And with the North Star being helping people to make more in order to give more. So that's a long story short.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say this, you don't have to keep it PG unless you want to. Your life, your story, my friend. I have a lot of admiration and appreciation for that. As many of the Unbroken Nation know, you know, yeah. I was 350 pounds, smoking two packs of cigarettes a day, drinking myself to sleep, destroying my life. And, you know, fast forward 11 years later, here I am talking to you. And, you know, I think what's really fascinating is I had entrepreneurship tendencies from the time that I was a little boy. At 8 years old, I was knocking door to door selling stuff for the Boy Scouts. And then by the time I was 12, I was selling drugs. And by the time that I was 20, I was selling for a Fortune 10 corporation. So in a sense, kind of entrepreneurship has always been ingrained in me deeply. And it feels like to me, the passage to kind of creating the life that you want to have. And that's different for, I don't think everybody has to be an entrepreneur, obviously. But in this process, man, you know, one of the things that I think is fascinating is, you know, this idea that we often succumb to so many of the vices we have in our life, to so many of the opportunities that don't make our life better, to food and drugs and women and cars and clothes or men or, you know, whatever it is that your vice is. what was happening in your life where you looked at it and you measured and you were like, you know what, I'm actually going to change? Because here's the truth, man, and I think you'll agree with this. Most people, they look at their life and they'll say, I'm going to change tomorrow, right? What was happening for you where you're like, you know what, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to take this thing seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to answer that, but I just had a quick thought that I wanted to share, actually, and because I think it's really helpful on this topic. It's because I was recently in Sydney for 8 months, and I know that sounds awesome, and parts of it were totally awesome. But I want to give a practical tip to people who are suffering right now. A lot was going on in Australia. My daughter had a freak trampoline accident. And she broke her leg in not a regular break, but a freak break where she actually went through the growth plate. And doctors are scaring us that she might never walk properly again. It's a freak accident. They were shocked. They said that people get this are usually in a car wreck. Like, what do you mean she was on a trampoline? And that happened. Some of my very close family had some very personal, very serious health issues that I'll keep private for them. My business was hurting because of the environment that I was in Australia and the time zone difference. It was very challenging to work in that time zone because by the time we wake up over there, everyone here is ending their day. And it was actually just the environment. You see, I was living, and I actually love my in-laws, to be honest with you, but I was living with them. And that for me wasn't the ideal environment because it's not my space. And it wasn't, you see, like people, I have a nice office, and I say that by design because this is my laboratory where I can create marketing campaigns, customer service, sales. It's an environment where I thrive. There's a view of the water, which I really like. There's high ceilings, which I really, it's very much curated to cultivate my creativity. And I didn't have that over there. And so that environment that I was in was not good for me. It wasn't helping me create. It wasn't helping me get to work. I hated my office over there. I only had like an opportunity to have like one place and I hated it. And because of the environment that I was in, that toxic environment, I actually, like, I'm a totally different guy now. Like, I pray, I'm pretty God-fearing, pretty religious. I don't really have any of those, like, those typical vices. Dude, I wanted to, like, for the first time in I don't know how long, dude, I wanted to go drink. Like, I wanted to go drink. You know, I don't believe, all due respect, but I don't believe in like some of the typical alcoholic kind of thought process that you're kind of always an alcoholic and it's one day at a time. I don't, just from personal experience, I dropped it cold turkey and then, I don't think about it like that at all. But dude, because I was in that toxic environment, I started chewing tobacco. I went to the gas station several times to buy a pack of cigarettes because I used to be not a chain smoker, just a regular, I guess, pack a day smoker. And I stopped myself a couple of times. I went there and literally paced around the gas station. I thought they might call the police because it was kind of shady because I'm looking all bugged out, right? Because I'm like frazzled and I'm pacing around the gas station. Okay, don't buy the cigarettes. Don't buy the cigarettes. Don't buy the cigarettes. And luckily enough, my God-fearingness is now deep enough and I've practiced enough where I wasn't going to buy a drink. Did the thought cross my mind? Absolutely. But that kind of really was not going to happen. But it was getting kind of dangerous. Like, okay, dude, I'm gonna start drinking. And I did start, I started smoking some cigars and chewing tobacco. And I started drinking like 6 cups of caffeine a day, which I never really did before. And I was just trying to escape that environment through my vices, which many years ago when I ended up in the hospital half dead, it was the same thing. My environment sucked. I was in terrible relationships. I was in a job I hated. So a practical tip I want to give people real quick is, dude, get the hell out of your environment. If it's making you feel this way, get the F out immediately, like right away. Like, I don't care. Just do whatever you got to do. Get out. You know, if you're living with someone who's driving you nuts, a roommate, get out. Oh, you can't afford it? Too bad. I don't care. Like, go somewhere else. That's cheaper. Figure it out. Like, you're going to keep hurting yourself, and you are a product of your environment. And if you're not thriving there, you need to leave and get up. And it's hard, and it's a bold move. But what I can promise you is you're going to be much better off. Otherwise, you're going to keep suffering. So that's just like a little tip I wanted to give people.
Yeah, I agree with that. And there are people who I know for certain will hear this and they will push back and they will come up with all the excuses in the world for why they can't. And the truth is, I resonate. I'll be the first person to raise my hand and be like, I understand that place where the suffering has just become the norm. And I think that there's something innately human about that to a certain extent, in which we, for lack of a better term, do invite suffering into our lives. But I would argue that the same effort and energy that it takes to destroy your life is the same energy and effort it takes to build your life. And so much of it, I believe, lies within the way that we're talking to ourselves. And I'm curious about this, if you'd be open to sharing it. What kind of conversation were you having with yourself prior to making this massive change in your life versus the conversation you have with yourself today?
I mean, I'll never forget it. I was at the hospital and I told my parents, which is kind of like really embarrassing. Like, I guess, you know, I have more traditional school kind of parents. The type where you don't even smoke a cigarette in front of them, or you don't even talk about, you know, certain things in front of them. You know, very traditional, old school kind of parents. I'm sure some people can relate to that. But I'll never forget, like, the day after my hospital. I was in the hospital, the ER. I forget. I think I pulled up my arm or something. I showed them, like, the injection or the IV or whatever the hell it was. And I was like, yeah, no, last night, all night, you guys don't even know you were sleeping, but I was in the ER. And you know, I'm bugged out, and I need to make that change. Like, I can't do this anymore. And I hate to say it, because I don't know if this is helpful for people, which is why I wanted to give a practical tip about changing environment. But like, the truth with me, the honest truth is, I just hit rock bottom. Like, I just hit rock bottom. I mean, half dead in a hospital. I'm just like, dude, I just took that wake up call seriously, and I feel bad because there's some people who don't. I have a very close friend. He's an alcoholic. And he fell off his bed recently and busted his head open, went to the ER. And they said, dude, you very easily could have died. Very easily could have died, but somehow you're alive. Dude's still drinking. They did not take that second chance seriously. I'm blessed to say I did, you know. So, yeah, man, that was just it with me. It's just, I was just like, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I'm like, all right, enough is enough. That's it. Boom, cold turkey. Cold turkey. That was my methodology. I'm not recommending that for everybody, because for some people, I think that might be dangerous, but you definitely want to talk to a doctor or whatever. But for me, I dropped everything. Cold turkey. Funny enough, the hardest thing for me to drop actually was smoking cigarettes. That was actually the hardest. And if you just recently started smoking, if you get nothing out of this but this one thing, stop now. I'll never forget my dad, who caught me smoking when I was like, God, all these years ago. And my God, my first pack I ever bought, funny enough, was like a Newport. My dad caught that, and he's like, you know, because my dad used to smoke. He's like, don't do this. Don't do this. Like, stop now. And I'm like, yeah, no, I just started like a week ago. I can probably stop. And I wish I listened, but I didn't stop. And I smoked for over a decade. And dude, I still hella miss it to this day. Like, I wish I was smoking right now. Like, that's that one thing. Those mother effers, like, there's a memo, by the way, from the cigarette companies. They don't actually sell cigarettes. They sell nicotine. Cigarettes is simply a carrying case for their product. Their product is actually nicotine. They can't give you like a handful of nicotine. They have to case it in something. So they just case it in a cigarette. But it's that substance that, honestly, I feel like it stays with you for life. Like, I would love to smoke right now, but you know, it's just, you can't. It's just terrible for you, right? So anyway, the one thing I wanted to tell you is, if you just started smoking, if anyone's listening, trust me when I tell you, the best piece of advice I could give you, stop. Don't stop now, like right now, before it's too late, because you'll be effed for life. It stays with you forever.
Yeah, I'm gonna parlay with you on that one, as someone who did smoke for a long time.
In my experience, anyway. I apologize.
Yeah, you're here for your experience, and I agree with you. You know, as a 2-pack-a-day former smoker, man, there are these moments where I'm just sitting, I'm like writing a book, or I'm here on the podcast or whatever, and I'm like, man, I want one. But here's what I want to tie into this that I really want to hit home: how much of the actions that you choose in your life are about what you think. What is it about the way that you think that you have disallowed yourself from really stepping deep into those vices again? Because I do think that at some point it's almost entirely, if not entirely, choice based. So what kind of language are you using with yourself when it comes to creating and having the life that you want to have right now?
Yeah, it's exactly that. You know, what's fascinating to me right now is like, there's this whole NFT and crypto craze out there, right? And I think there's a lot of toxicity. I think social media is a great tool and everything, but I think it's really toxic as well, in the sense that everyone opens up their Facebook right now, at least entrepreneurial people, they're following certain people, and they'll see nothing but, oh, I just sold this ape for $50,000. Oh, I just sold this mutant ape for $150,000. Oh, I just, you know, tripled my money in crypto in 5 minutes. And it's like, that's a very toxic thing to see, because it's very triggering for FOMO. And then what happens is people just dump and lose because they don't know what the hell they're doing. It becomes like a lottery thing. And it's funny, actually. I'm not like a big Gary Vee fan, but funny enough, I have a picture of me and him, like I don't know, not hugging, but you know, like, anyway, we're hanging out or we're just posing together. I have a big picture of him here in my office. And it's funny because I'm not like a big Gary Vee guy, but he just recently tweeted something that was so cool. And he was like, dude, I spent months researching NFTs and hundreds of hours researching before I bought a single one. Not like everyone else. They see something, oh, I made 50,000 flipping an ape. Boom. 5 minutes later, they're on OpenSea trying to buy an NFT, right? And I think it is 100% a choice. Like, do you want to be successful in NFTs? That's a choice. You want to be a lottery dude and just gamble? Like, that's a choice too. Go ahead. But do you really want to win at it? It's a choice. And the choice is, take your time, forget the FOMO, study the marketplace, research, spend hours and hours and hours doing it, and then you will crush it if you are dedicated to the craft, not the lottery side of it. Everything's a choice, dude. Check it out. Me and you lost a bunch of weight. I lost 60 pounds. Watch this. There's a cheeseburger in front of me. It's a choice. Am I eating it or not? You understand what I'm saying? If I eat it, I'm going to stay fat. If I don't eat it, I'm going to start losing weight. That's one of my favorite things about life, is that success is truly a choice. Yesterday, I have a choice. Do I want to just go on the boat all day and not work? I can. Or do I want to work really focused on my business and grow it? It's a choice. It's all just a choice. I made the wrong choices for many, many years. What I will say, as far as a helpful tip for those of you who are making maybe the wrong choices, is I think it's helpful. I think two things are very helpful. I think having the right person in your life is very helpful, a significant other. I think that's really, really helpful. Someone to keep, because that's your best friend, or supposed to be, in my opinion, or at least one of your best friends. And they know you the best, probably, because they live with you. And they will help guide you. At least in my life, when I was around toxic people, when I was with bums, I was a bum. And when I was with, you know, higher quality people, like, dude, when I was hanging out with the wrong people, I was broke, completely broke. You know, getting the government, you know, I got to the point where the government was paying, like helping me pay my rent. And now that I'm married to an incredible woman, you know, like I said, you know, I don't mean to like say this in a cheesy way, but you know, we feel like the top 1% of our field. And you know, I'm not trying to like be cheesy about it, but I'm just trying to like illustrate how important it is to have the right people in your life. And of course, that same goes with the coaches. In other words, your environment, right? Again, it goes back to your environment. The other thing I was going to tell you is how to make that change. I developed, and this is kind of interesting, and you don't hear people talking about this much, but I kind of developed a fear of bad choices. Like I thought, I don't think this is a healthy way to do it. I'm just being honest about the way I did it. But like, I viewed a cheeseburger, like if I eat that, dude, I'm going to have a heart attack. I'm not recommending this methodology at all. I'm just telling you how, like, some of what I did. But you know, I was fearful of bad choices. I made myself fearful of bad choices. And that was really powerful for me, for sure. But yeah, that's just some of what I went through.
I think there is, and I'm actually in the same boat as you, because I remember distinctly when I quit smoking, I was like, the next cigarette you have is going to end your life. And,
oh, really?
And that's what I started putting in my head. And it was cold turkey. And it was hard, man. It was so hard. And it's not that I hadn't quit 3,000 times before that, right? Everyone always, that's the joke, right? My last cigarette's always my last cigarette. And, you know, I found myself just constantly, it wasn't just that, but it was the food, it was the addictions, it was all of those things. And part of it was the fear. And what I'm curious about, if this rings true for you at all, is I was afraid of the potential that I had to have success in my life, because the only thing that I ever saw was the opposite of that. Growing up in the hood, being homeless, living in HUD housing, living in trailer parks, like the whole nine, man. And I would just see life and I go, this is what it was supposed to be. I'm settled on the idea that my life will never be anything greater than this. And so be it. And so it was also fear that kept me trapped, but my fear was the fear of success. And I think this happens quite often. You see it, especially, I mean, I'm with entrepreneurs all the time. I'm with coaches all the time. I'm with people all the time who don't understand how important it is that it first starts with them giving themselves permission to be successful. Have you found that to be a part of your journey as well?
Totally, man. I mean, you know, people just come up with all different types of excuses. I had a consult with someone this morning and they're like, dude, I don't want to sell anything. Dude's made good money in e-com. All right. So now he wants to kind of coach people on how to do the same. And I'm like, why aren't you selling anybody? He goes, dude, I don't want to sell anybody because, dude, I will not be able to stand it if somebody buys something from me and they don't get any results. And I'm like, bro, what? Like, with all due respect, like, what world are you living on, bro? Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's, if you really sit down and think about it, it's insanity. And I'm going to take this deeper in a minute. But what I told him was like, dude, when the first like business conference I ever went to, internet marketing conference I ever went to, I had no money. I put it on a credit card. I flew to London. I had no money to buy the ticket either. And my whole family was like, dude, what the hell are you doing? You don't have any money. What the hell are you doing going to London for like some internet marketing conference? I'll never forget what the dude told me. He said, it was a 2-day event. He said, some of you are going to listen to this, what I'm going to teach you today, you're going to think it's nonsense and you're not even going to show up tomorrow. Some of you are going to try some of the things I'm teaching you. You're going to try a little bit. You're going to give up and you're going to say, it's not for me. It's garbage. It's maybe even a scam. No, this is silly. I'm out of here. Some of you are going to take this information and you're going to make millions with it.
We'll be right back to this episode of the Think Unbroken podcast in just a moment, but I wanted to invite you to come and join the Think Unbroken Discord community. If you don't know about Discord, it's being built on Web3, which is a platform that we as the users get to own. So no more Instagram or Facebook or algorithms getting in the way of you seeing and being a part of content. In the Discord channel, we're going to grow this to hundreds of thousands of community members, hopefully over time. But today, it's small, it's close, it's intimate, where you'll be able to get access to live coaching with me, where you'll have chat with the Unbroken Nation community, where you can talk about a range of topics, anywhere from thinking about habits and growth mindset, goals, trauma, recovery, dating, relationships, career, accountability, business, meditation, feedback, and more. And so all you have to do is go to thinkunbroken.com/discord. That's thinkunbroken.com/discord. That's DISCORD to join the Unbroken Nation community.
And I remember saying at that time, that's going to be me. And it, crazy enough, it did end up happening to be me. But it's so true. And I love that analogy because I love that pie. You take any pie piece of a population, and that's what it is. You're going to have some people, most people. It's just like buying a, I'll give you a perfect analogy. It's like a gym. Your local gym that can only hold capacity of 200 people, they have sold 2,000 memberships. If all 2,000 people were to come, they don't even have any room for them because they know the algorithm is that the vast majority of people are not even going to show up. They're not even going to show up. So that's what I was trying to tell him in his mindset. You know what I'm saying? And he texted me later, goes, bro, you totally changed my whole mind. You changed the way I think about everything. I can now stop. Like he said, like, I feel like the chains are off and I can sell now. So in other words, I think that you are your biggest enemy, but I'll take it a step deeper. Okay. And this is for my spiritual people out there. And I'm not here to preach, man. I'm just telling you what I believe. But I truly believe if you are, additionally, if you're an entrepreneur, for example, or really anybody, but let's just say an entrepreneur, and your aim is to make this world a better place, well, then guess what? You got a big target on you. You want to know who that target, who's pointing that target at you? Well, think about it. Who is the one being that does not want you to do good at all? There is something out there that their job 24/7, they don't eat, they don't drink, they're not married, they don't use the bathroom, they don't watch Netflix, they don't do anything. 24/7 like a machine. They have one goal, and that is to make sure you do not do good things. And that's the devil. The devil's job, the devil's promise to God is, oh yeah, you created man, you think man's so great, watch my life's mission is to corrupt your creation. Because the devil didn't want to bow down to humans. He said, humans are made from mud. I'm made from fire, ego. And so he dedicated his life to corrupting us. So to me, I feel, this is my personal opinion, shiny object syndrome, imposter syndrome, anxiety, these are kryptonites for entrepreneurs. The whole game is 90% mental. Like people are like, oh, dude, give me the funnel, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I got great funnels and all that stuff, sure. But the whole thing is 90% mental. Guess who else knows that? The devil. I think all these things are from him, that he puts all this in our heads. Why? Because he knows that if our minds are not, we got all this mind trash, we're not doing any good. How many people out there are not getting enough clients? How many people out there, their business is stuck? How many people are just not doing well because of all the mind trash? You know, the only way we can do more good is to get more clients. The only way we can do more good is to make more. Every month I build a community center. Every single month I fund the entire construction of a community center, or we rebuild one that got destroyed due to a flood or whatever. That's not going to happen unless we're making good money. I got to fight my mind trash all the time. I'm boxing with the devil all the time, right? Sometimes he makes me feel like, dude, I don't want to do this business anymore. F it. I'm going to go buy crypto. Like, forget this shit. Like, I don't want to coach anymore. I'm going to go buy crypto. You know what I mean? Like, you don't think these thoughts don't come in my head? Of course they do. So I think it's good to know our enemy and good to know that. So we know what's happening. Then we can learn to combat that. And I hope that helps people.
Yeah. I think it's such a great point. And I think whether you're religious or not, that's a side point. I think more so it's really about leveraging and understanding the thoughts that you make. Like, those are everything. And I say this every client I teach, every time people listen to this podcast, I always say it: what you think becomes what you speak become your actions, and your actions become your reality. And if you allow yourself to be poisoned by negativity, that's going to be your life. If you wake up in the morning, you put your feet on the ground, you're like, I hate my life. Your life is going to suck. Because you're not going to do things that move you towards the direction of having the life that you want to have. And when I wake up in the morning, every single day, I put my feet on the ground and I'm grateful that I'm here despite the chaos of my existence. Yeah. And I say, I am the one in control of my future. I am the one in control of my life. I am the leader of my life. And that helps me so much because, dude, let me tell you this, nothing on planet Earth brings me more joy than laying in bed, smoking a joint, and eating chocolate cake. But how do you change the world if that's the only thing that you're focused on? Because my mission and my goal is to end generational trauma in my lifetime. So if I'm getting fucking stoned all day, eating chocolate cake, not taking care of myself, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. And I'm not saying it's easy, because it's not easy. Like, the drive to create the life that you want to have. I mean, I've been working at this for 11 years. We've only known each other for one, right? Think about that, right? It takes forever. And you know this, to create the life that you want to have. One of the things that I think is really beautiful about the way that you step into and think about the world is through this aspect of giving more. And you talked about it just briefly about rebuilding community centers, but I know that you do so much more. Can you talk about the shift in your ideology and the way you think about not only just business, but because it impacts your life? Talk about that shift in which you decided to become philanthropic in the level in which you are. And also, because I think it's really important, can you talk about the impact that it's had on your life?
I don't like wearing these name brand shirts, you know, like a big swoosh or like a big, I don't know, whatever, Gucci or whatever. Cause I'm like, dude, what am I, a schmuck? I'm going to pay you whatever, $100 for a shirt, and then I'm just going to walk around marketing your brand. I'm paying you to market your brand. And what the hell do you stand for? Like, what the hell does like Reebok stand for example's sake, right? Or Gap. What does Gap stand for? I remember going to the Gap store, and like, we're going shopping for my kids, and it's all big Gap. I'm like, why the hell would I pay $50 for my kid to be your walking billboard? You should be paying me. Like, you should be giving it to me. Like, it makes no sense to me. I think it's the most absurd thing in fashion, by the way. I think it's the stupidest thing out there, to be honest with you. I get the posers out there, you know, who wear a big Gucci. Like, I get that. I don't get the people who wear a big Gap or some shit like that. What does that mean? Like, why are you renting out your space to say Gap? It's just, anyway, that's a little rant. But the point is, I actually have one Nike shirt because I really like the message. So I will rep that, and I will market that. So the Nike shirt says built, not born. And it's a fascinating conversation, I think. And by the way, I mean, no disrespect to anybody, like if you are a Gap shirt or whatever, but that's just my ranting. But this is debate we had in college. Like, are you born an entrepreneur or are you built into one? In my experience, I think you're born into it. Personally, I think that you're born with some of those traits. My whole family's like this, dude, to be honest with you. We're all like philanthropic and giving and stuff. I kind of just grew up in that environment. That's kind of just genetically what our family's been like for generations. To go deeper than that, it's about satisfaction. Like, you know, when I first started making money and stuff, like, yeah, I bought some fun toys. You know what I'm saying? Like, I bought a Bentley and stuff like that. But it's like, now it's like, oh man, like that's cool and everything. But you know what I'd really like is like the new Bentley SUV, for example's sake. In other words, it's like, it can get to a point where those things start losing their luster a little bit. And I think the high that remains is the high of giving. Do you know what I mean? To me, that's the best high I've ever experienced. Is like just today, I sent pictures to my family. We have a family like chat group of like some of the construction of a new community center we're building. And dude, it felt good. You know what I mean? It felt good. And so it's like, you know, even if I go out of, like, to the point of this, even if I go out of business tomorrow, now let's just say I go bankrupt tomorrow. You know what? I don't really care, because you know what? We've done good. Like, we did our best, and we've built community centers. We've built water wells. We've given the gift of vision to blind people. We've sponsored orphans. Like, we did some good in this world. You know what I'm saying? And that, nobody can take that from me, because that's already done. Those orphans have been sponsored. Those eye surgeries have been paid for. Those meals have been fed. You know what I mean? Like, it's done. Those wells are built and water's coming out of it. And, you know, so it's like, that's feels good. Going back to the North Star statement, like, what's our purpose in this life? To me, it's real black and white. Our purpose in this life is to do good. Like, again, I'll go back to religion. And again, I'm not preaching. I'm just telling you what I believe in. But I do believe in heaven and hell. And I believe that if you do good, you go to heaven. And you do bad, you're going to go to hell. So the point of this game, it's like 100 years. Call it 100 years, even though it's not. But let's just say you're on this planet for 100 years. Well, and heaven or hell is a billion years. It's actually not a billion years. It's like a trillion years. It's not even a trillion years. It's like a 100 million gazillion quadrillion. It's infinity, right? But let's just say, just to illustrate, let's just say it's 100 trillion. So this life is 100 years. Heaven or hell is 100 trillion years. And where you spend that 100 trillion years is based on how you spend this 100 years. You know what I'm saying? Simple math. I'm just like, well, shoot, man, I got to do as much good as humanly possible. That's the name of the game. The name of the game is just to cut. It's like a video game, kind of. I mean, I got to go. It's like, I got to be Super Mario. I got to go collecting as many coins as freaking possible. You understand what I'm saying? My mission every day is keep collecting coins. Bing, 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 bing. Flower, fireball, more coins. Boom, boom, boom. You know what I'm saying? So that North Star helps a lot, I think. I think that really helps a lot. You know what I mean?
Why do you think, and I agree, I'll say this, and this is just from my own personal side. When I'm able to make impact and pay for something for someone, to bring a benefit to someone's family, whether they're here stateside or anywhere in the world, and whether it's building a well or doing anything, you know, a lot of things that you've done as well, there's joy that I get in that because I come from nothing. Dude, I literally at 8 years old, the water company came and turned our water off. We were that impoverished. I've been so poor that I had to borrow money to pay my rent. I've been so poor, I've had to steal food to survive. I've been poor and impoverished and homeless in ways that most people can never fathom. And for a long time, my only driver in life was money. That's how I ended up working for a Fortune 10 company at 20 years old with no high school diploma and no college degree. I was like, I will figure this out. And then what happened is I got money and I used it for all the wrong purposes. And that really, really destroyed my life. And I think what's fascinating is that as I've grown, not only as a person, as a leader, as a coach, as all the things that I do, I've become more and more comfortable with the idea that you cannot actually create impact in the world without money. Because it's the currency for, if it were gummy bears, I'd be like, I want gummy bears. Like, how do I do that? But it's not. Why do you think that people are so, and my experience, let me preface it this. My experience of getting to a place of comfort with what I just said was a battle, dude. It was a fucking battle to be okay with the fact that you are allowed to have financial stability in your life. I was living paycheck to paycheck, making $150,000 a year, right? Because I didn't know any better. And I only was like, how do I sabotage it? How do I sabotage it? Not having those words then, but now certainly, you know, over a decade removed from that. But what I'm curious about is two parts. One, why do you think people struggle so much with money? And two, why do people struggle with the idea that they have to stay poor to create impact?
Yeah, man, I love that. I think there's a couple of things. And one of them I don't think is talked about a lot. First of all, and I don't know how helpful this is, but I'll just quickly talk to you about like what my relationship with money is very, very different. It's because I grew up with a lot of money that went through these hands. Like I told you, my family's in retail. My dad was the first guy to bring the dollar store concept to Connecticut. So on the weekends or whatever, I was still a kid, I would be cashiering. I mean, like Christmas Eve, doing $20,000 in one day. It's like constantly. And back then, dude, people didn't really use credit card at all. Actually, funny enough, it's the opposite now. Everyone's got Apple Pay or whatever. But back then, it was all cash, cash, cash. So very rarely, you know, did someone use a credit card. So I have, since I was a kid, I've always been transacting with money. You know what I mean? So I've always been very comfortable with it. Now, there's something interesting that I want to actually blog about or whatever. And it's the headline is fellow people of color, lend me your ear. Because what I've noticed about a lot of immigrants who are people of color, they've immigrated. They're the previous generation, you know, migrated to America, for example, I mean, we're in America. So I'll just talk about that for a second. They came to America to live a better life because wherever they came from, my parents came, you know, were born in Africa, for example's sake. You know, wherever they came from, things were not going that well. People come to America for better opportunity. So think about that for a second. Generally speaking, a lot of people come to America are coming because they're not in a great situation. They want to live a better life. So the kids are growing. So those, let's just call them parents for now. Those parents, they had it hard in their old country and they had to struggle and save. So they come to America and now they're very frugal, very frugal. By the way, this is my own kind of hypothesis. In my own observation, they're very frugal. Okay. And that because they're used to living in the old country was a struggle. And then that frugalness, that scarcity mindset transfers over to their kids. You see, I grew up in America and I saw firsthand. You see, when my parents got here, they were born in Africa, then they moved to England, then they came to England. They came here from England to New York in the 70s. When my dad came here with his brothers, it was winter and there was a big Lincoln Town Car, one of my favorite cars. I should actually buy one, but it was snowing and there's a Lincoln Town Car got stuck in the snow. And my dad and a couple of his brothers sat on the trunk to put weight on the trunk, and the dude got unstuck. The car came out. The guy came out of the car and said, "You guys are awesome." And he gave my dad and his brothers like a dollar each or whatever. And my dad said, they just got to America, and said, "Man, you can never starve in this country." And it's 100% right. Because that type of stuff doesn't happen in the old country. Like, you got to understand something. Like, with all due respect, I'm not trying to be funny or anything. I'm trying to be literal. But you have to be kind of mentally ill to not be able to generate wealth in a first world country. You cannot starve in a first world country. It's impossible. Again, it's just impossible. It's absolutely impossible. In my observation, my experience. You cannot starve to death. In other countries all over the world, people die of starvation. You can't do that here. It's impossible. There's too many places that give you food. You go to any church, any religious center, any restaurant. I mean, anyway, you know what to do. Any soup kitchen, blah, blah, blah. But what I've experienced is that, have you ever asked somebody for $5? Be like, "Hey, dude, I need to borrow $5. And that person, "Man, I wish you asked me 5 years ago. I had $5 5 years ago, but then I bought that cheeseburger. And that was it, man. Never got any money after that." You understand what I'm saying? Money is constantly replenishing. It's just that I think a lot of people have a scarcity mindset. And I think they inherited a lot of that from their parents, in my observation. And I just want to make it clear to people that, dude, like, I can literally write, I mean, especially online, it's impossible. I mean, I just don't, I mean, it's the greatest opportunity I've seen in my entire life. I mean, it's like, I don't know how you cannot make money online. It's just, historically, we are the first generation ever to be online entrepreneurs. We're the first users ever to be online entrepreneurs. I mean, this is only the tip of the iceberg. And it's impossible not to crush it. And a lot of people, you know, then you have the problem of people saying, "Okay, awesome, awesome. I want in. But then they come into that lottery ticket mentality. They come into that lottery. They don't understand that it's a real business. You see, business, the first business transaction ever was, I don't know, 77,000 years ago, something like that, where they were trading volcanic glass off the coast of Fiji. And then they got into marketplaces, tents, bazaars. Then the trains and ships were invented. They started doing business that way. Then they invented mail. Then they started doing business with mail order business. Then retail was invented and everyone started going to brick and mortar, you know, Walmarts and stuff like that. And now the new mode, so to speak, is the internet. And it's crushing it. it's putting brick and mortar out of business. And so it's just, you know, it's impossible not to make wealth off of it if you're dedicated to it and you treat it like what it is, and that's an actual business, not a lottery ticket. So that's some of my thoughts on money mindset. It is a kind of a pet peeve of mine. I feel so bad when I see it because I'm like, damn. I personally know some people. I'm like, yeah. And I look at their parents. I'm just like, yeah, dude. Their parents had it really rough, and they always had the scarcity mindset. And they just transfer that over to their kids, and that really saddens me when I see that.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I look at it, and I'm by no stretch of the imagination rich, and I don't pretend that I am, and I won't be for many, many years. I understand that. It is a process. But here's what's fascinating to me. My family comes from poverty, and their parents came from poverty, and their parents came from poverty. And at some point, I look at it just like breaking the cycle of trauma. You're going to have to create massive shifts in your life to go and get yourself out of poverty and change your relationship with money. You're allowed to have money. You're allowed to have success. You are allowed to be in a position where you can take care of your family, take care of your community, take care of the world, right? And the idea that we should ever limit ourselves. And I don't think money's not your driver. I know that about you. Money is not my driver. I know that about me, but it is the token for which we play the game. And you can't heal children in third world countries or feed children in your city. And you can't help people who are suffering and donate when one of your employees' father has a heart attack and do all these different things if you're poor. And it's a hard truth to face. And I think that there's a lot of money trauma in society. And my hope is that through conversations like this, people at least take something from that and think differently about how it is that they can create massive change in their life. So Akbar, my friend, before I ask you my last question, and this has been a phenomenal conversation, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
Yeah, man. I have one website, which is myname.com, a name that nobody can spell or pronounce, but it's AKBARSHEIKH. And that's where you could find me at all the goodies over there.
Awesome. And we'll put that in the show notes for those who can't find or spell it. And I love that. My last question for you, my friend, is what does it mean to you to be unbroken?
I do want to kind of like put a little disclaimer as well. I feel like that. I want everyone to know, because it's like you might, you know, look at me and Mike and be like, oh man, you know, like you might be earlier in the journey than us, right? And be like, oh man, these guys got it figured out and like they got all the success and they're donating all the stuff. And like, I want to be like that. And that's cool. And I'm hope that you can get some inspiration from that. But I want you, like, I really want you to know it very much is a process. And the vast majority of what you see online is a lot of smoke and mirrors. There was a guy driving. I'll just protect his identity, so I'll kind of like switch it up a little bit. But he was driving a Lamborghini, showing everybody online, hey, I'm driving a Lamborghini. Truth of the matter is he had very low payments on it, and he actually couldn't afford the monthly payments. And he had to sell it to someone because he couldn't afford the monthly payments. But everyone's thinking, wow, this guy's so rich and successful. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors out there. And what I want to let you know, even about, and I'll just speak for me, it's still very much a process that, yes, the make more, give more is a mission. Do we struggle with that North Star regularly? Yeah, we do. Like, I'll be totally vulnerable and honest with you. And I think it's important because I think people need to see like what's real, because I think otherwise people are mostly chasing smoke and mirrors. Like, some of the struggles I go through right now is that, like, I've become a little numb to things, to be completely transparent with you. Like, for example, you might see some of these trophies back here. When I help a client hit six figures, they get a trophy. When I help them hit seven figures, I give them a trophy. When I help them get eight figures, I get another trophy. There's trophies all around here. It's all like, I can't twist the camera, but they're all over this office. You know, we've helped our clients collectively do over 50 million. When I first got a trophy, I would like, this is for like the Think and Grow Rich dudes, but I was like, Ma, look at this. Ma, I can't believe we helped this guy hit six figures. Oh my God, can you believe it? Okay. I'm going to do a whole Facebook Live. I'm going to do an unboxing. Guys, look at this. Oh my God, they made six figures. This is so cool. Make more, give more. Oh my God. And now, literally, I probably can't twist the camera, but there's literally like just boxes. You can see that there's one big one. There's like a bunch of them over there. There's literally boxes around this office of trophies that I haven't even bothered to open up. Right? Because it's like, at some point, it's just like, I'm sorry, I messed up the camera. But at some point, it's just like, all right, another trophy. Okay. Not, you know, congratulations. But it's like, I've actually had clients get offended by it. But it's like, I can't, like, it's just become normal now. It's just regularly someone's hitting six or seven figures. And it's just, I've become kind of numb to it. Unfortunately, and I'll tell you another thing, like, we try to do good charity work every month. So it's like, for example, when I first built my first water well, I was like, oh my God, I built a water well. Mom, Dad, look at this. You're not going to believe this. Look at the picture. There's people, they did not have water before. They had to leave schools and carry buckets of water and walk for hours and hours, and they don't have to do that anymore. And oh my God, this is nuts. Ah, make more, give more. And now it's just like, just writing another check. Mortgage, car lease, kids school, charity check. Cool. I mean, like I just told you, I got pictures of another community center, the construction that they're building that we funded. It was cool for a minute, but then it's just like, all right, another one. Like, you know what I mean? So it is a process. Like, don't think that anyone's really got it figured out and they're crushing and they're super happy. It's all like, that's just all shit that they want to show you so you buy something off of them, right? It's all mostly nonsense. It is a process. And if you're not doing as well as like maybe me or Mike, it's only because you're earlier on in the journey and for no other reason. And it doesn't really matter. It just means that later on you will be, if you want to be, if you decide to be. So I just wanted to put that disclaimer out there that, like, dude, no one's got it all figured out, and it's a journey. It's a process. And the point is to keep having stepping stones and to keep growing and to keep getting closer and closer to that, state of nirvana. But I also do believe that you actually truly never achieve that in this life. And then that state of mind is actually only reserved for heaven. I don't believe that you ever truly hit that. Like, I'm done. Everything is the way it's supposed to be. Everything is great. Da, da, da. Like, I don't think that actually exists. But now to answer your question, I went on that whole rant. So what was the question was about unbroken. What was it?
Yeah. What does it mean to you to be unbroken?
What is it to me to be unbroken? Well, the first thing that just came to my mind is that, you know, I trip big on you as a person. I think that you were consisted of our physical self, our mental self, our spiritual self, and our relationship self, you know. It's pretty interesting. I think relationships are highly misunderstood and highly under-leveraged and really underrated. If you think about it for a second, if you take a look at most of the major monotheistic religions out there, they have banned all the outlets. Yeah, don't drink, don't smoke, don't gamble, don't womanize, don't go clubbing, don't gamble, all these things. All the major monotheistic religions have banned all these things. Christianity, Catholicism, Islam, Judaism. You're not allowed to do any of this stuff, right? What outlet do I have? Like, according to like God, what outlet do we have? Truly, it's community. It's people. It is people. And that socializing the right way is really our number one outlet, is so important and key to a healthy life. You know, having good, healthy relationships. But in order to have healthy relationships, you yourself need to be healthy physically, spiritually, mentally, relationship-wise. Before, I was broken as a person. When I was broken as a person, I wasn't building any water wells. I wasn't building any community centers. I wasn't helping people make millions and millions of dollars so that they can give more. Okay, I don't really care about the number, dude. I'll be completely honest with you. I just want to know, are you giving more? If the answer is yes, we're good. None of that was happening when I was broken. But now, as I've by choice rebuilt myself, I suppose you can say, you know, that's unbroken, and that's what I hope and pray for, that everyone can do to themselves. I think that'd be one of the greatest things you can do.
It's powerful, my friend, and thank you for your vulnerability and your beautiful answer. Unbroken Nation, thank you so much for listening. Please like, subscribe, comment, leave a review, tell a friend, and until next time, my friends, be unbroken. I'll see ya.
Peace.
Unbroken Nation, hope that you just got a tremendous amount of value from today's episode. I want to know what you think. Please do me a favor and review, rate, and share the episode with 3 friends on social media today. It would mean the world if you did, because ultimately, at the end of the day, creating community and connection is how we heal generational trauma in the world. And I need your help to do that, Unbroken Nation. So if you're on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you are, please like, comment, share, review. I want to know not only what you like about the show, but how I can make the show better, how I can make this further about helping you on your healing journey. So do me a favor. And when you do, shoot me a screenshot of you making the review to my DM at Michael Unbroken on Instagram so that I can have a conversation with you, say hi, and more importantly, so I can share it with the Unbroken Nation. Thank you so much, my friend.
We'll be right back, but I wanted to take a quick moment to tell you about the Think Unbroken 6-week trauma healing coaching program. If you go to coaching.thinkunbroken.com, that's coaching.thinkunbroken.com, you can sign up for the 6-week daily Think Unbroken Trauma Healing Coaching Program. In this program, we're going to go over the 6 principles of healing trauma, adaptation,
understanding the impacts of trauma, how to become the hero of your own story, what to do next, and ultimately what it means to be unbroken. For more information about this 6-week coaching program, which you can download as an app on your phone and take with you everywhere, no matter where you are in the world, it's interactive. It's built about giving you practical tools that you can use in real time. And if you're ready for what's next in your life, go to coaching.thinkunbroken.com. Again, that's coaching.thinkunbroken.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Hey, my friends, we will be right back to the show, but I have a question for you. Are you struggling with the impact of childhood trauma? Well, know that you're not alone. I'm here to let you know that I'm starting a brand new weekly coaching group that includes a year of live coaching, accountability, support, habit and goal setting, and more. I'm starting a waitlist for the group right now, and I'm only taking a handful of people. And I'll let you know that through this personalized coaching, we'll work together to help you understand how your childhood trauma has shaped your beliefs, behaviors, emotions, and will help you create a roadmap for healing and growth. Right now, you can schedule an absolutely free coaching session with me and get put on the wait list if you go to thinkunbroken.com. My friends, it's your time to turn your trauma into triumph, breakdowns into breakthroughs, and become the hero of your own story. And I'm here to support you in doing that. Just go to thinkunbroken.com to register for a free coaching call with me and to get put on the wait list for the brand new weekly coaching program.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.